are listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
I have the honor of introducing my friend, Superintendent Jennifer Gill, and her bio really doesn't fully convey the impact that she's made on the Springfield community, being a lifelong resident of Springfield. She got her bachelor's degree from Eastern Illinois University, Bachelor's of Science in Education. She earned her Master's of Arts degree in Education Administration and her Certificate in Advanced Studies in Leadership Education with a Superintendent's endorsement. She's progressed in her career. She began her teaching career in Jacksonville Public Schools as a fifth grade teacher. She was also a teacher and building principal at Vachel Lindsay and McClenard Elementary. During her tenure at McClenard, earned an Improving School Award from the Illinois State Board of Education for significant student achievement and gains in a high poverty school setting. Superintendent Gill, during her tenure as superintendent, managed a development of a facility plan, which led to the approval of the Sangamon County sales tax for facility improvements. The district strives to create improvements, environments that are equitable, student-centered, safe, secure, and welcoming with up-to-date infrastructure. Projects currently being planned, constructed, or have been completed total in more than $230 million. Jennifer, in what free time that she does have, she actually serves as on board of directors for the Springfield Sangamon Growth Alliance, Springfield Memorial Hospital, and the YMCA. She previously served as chairman for the board, Greater Springfield Area Chamber of Commerce, and she served as campaign co-chair for United Way. I would like to call up Superintendent Gill, and she'll give a presentation and update you guys on all things the district, and then we'll have a candid conversation about some of the additional items.
This is my joy. This is my love. I love serving my Springfield community where I was born and raised, so this is not something I take lightly. The work that we put into this is so very important. Our students need us. They need us more than ever now, and I know that Dominic's going to break that down, and we're going to talk about some of the things that we saw during the pandemic and post-pandemic, some of the differences that we've seen and the challenges that we faced. During that, we tried to keep our eye on the ball, and that's doing what we could do best each and every day that we were facing something that there really wasn't a book you could purchase or an article you could read to say, hey, this is how we did it, unless you wanted to look back in the early 1900s. It was a very big challenge over the past few years, and we're still in that challenge zone, but we are moving forward. We're taking steps each and every day to close the opportunity gaps that our students had during that time. The realities are our students were affected, impacted in a way that we probably won't ever understand until many, many years ahead. As a mom, I kind of walked alongside my daughter who was in college during this time, and it was difficult for her, so you just dial that up for kindergartners that are just now learning the alphabetic principle, or fifth graders who are moving into sixth grade online where they really have never been in the school or had an opportunity to become a part of the culture of the school. And then many of the things that the students missed out on during that time, just whether it be athletics or musical endeavors or participating in the school play or just being a part of clubs and something that they could be together and really feel fellowship around. As we work through all of those things coming back, we know that we want our students to have the very best. And it's a challenge because at the same time that we're facing coming back with the opportunity loss that we saw, we're also facing what is truly a teacher shortage and lack of people going into our profession at this time. There needs to be a lot of creativity and a lot of work with our local universities, which I am happy to say one of the positive outcomes of the pandemic was the partnerships that we formed, not only with our local secondary education partners, but those across Central Illinois, also the businesses and the community members who want to support us and give back. A big example of that is our summer programming. If it weren't for Camp Compass, it is phenomenal. We were able to grow our program, five strong sites with a lot of students being enrolled in those programs that had never before gone to summer programming because they missed out on school and they wanted to be able to come back and be a part of something at the schoolhouse. And Camp Compass, thank you for all that you've done. Partnering, using our staff, but their ingenuity and creativity to help us run those programs when our staff need that break from the regular practice was great. And having it be a camp-like setting like Camp Compass sets up is something that tipped into all of our programs. The YMCA is here. We had a great program that we started just last summer where kids were utilizing their programs and having summer learning. We have programs with the outlet that still go strong and are going into our schools to help us mentor our youth. We have programs across the community with 21st Century having having almost 21 sites in our schools this year to help serve students after school on the weekends and into the evening. Partnerships that we were able to form are what have made us have the success that we have coming back out of the pandemic. At the same time, we were working on our facilities. That never stopped. We, of course, had to pause for a while when everybody was home, but we were still working on the plans, working on the development, working on what we could do to get things started when we were all able to go back to work. And our schools, our future is still our theme. We know that when we have schools that are in good condition, when we have schools that are modern, they really draw in our families and they draw in our students. And that's what we want to do to help the economic well-being of our community, is have the best schools that we possibly can have, not only in what they look like, but the programming that goes on inside. But when you have programs that aren't in kind of the new fancy-looking buildings, you get people shopping around a little bit. And we want to make sure that we have the best facilities for our students so that they feel safe every day and that they have the things that they need and they really enjoy. One great quote from the New Franklin Middle School, a student said, "Dad, it looks like college," because they'd gone on a college visit with their older sibling and they saw the cafeteria and they're like, "It looks like the college." So it was pretty cool. These are the completed or substantially completed, just finally doing the last little tick off the list: Blackhawk, Butler, Du Bois, Fairview, Sandburg, Franklin, Grant, Jefferson, and Washington. Our middle schools all received extensive additions to their cafeteria space. Those cafeterias were built in time when kids went home for lunch, so they were very, very small. Weren't suffice for the numbers that we had in our schools. Outdoor eating spaces and additional classroom space, as well as some really important renos on restroom facilities. And all of our other schools got additions, safe and secure entrances, and just updated and modern looks to their schools. We were really happy to give Blackhawk that new front entrance and library space. Our next projects that are in this first phase, which is actually kind of coming down to the wire, we have health, life, safety, which are just those natural band-aids that you put on schools all the time, roofs, HV systems, things of that nature, flooring, paving, roofing projects. Wilcox Elementary will be getting this summer a new secure entrance. The new elementary school is still in the works, and we're working on a great location for that school to consolidate our three smallest schools in the district, Hazeldell, Lake Town, and Southern View. New Owen Marsh, which will be built right there next to where Owen Marsh is already because they had land available and ready. Springfield High School, we're in the renovation cycle where we're looking at what do we do? What is the design going to look like? Where are we going to put the new addition? So we're just in the very much planning stage of that, but that will come starting next school year. Southeast Field House, which is also going to be in design coming soon, and that will have a full indoor track that is eligible for IHSA meets, and it will be something like we don't have anywhere in our community, and we're really looking forward to having that at Southeast High School as a district-wide facility. We have a few facilities that are district-wide. Memorial Stadium, of course, is home of not only the Lanphier Lions, but the Springfield Senators. Then this shared field house will be home to all three high schools for any indoor track meets that we need to house. Southeast will be the, of course, winner, because they'll have it right there on their school site and can use it during the school day. That's the infrastructure that we've put together. So I can't be more thankful to the 1 cent sales tax and the voter of Sangamon County for making that a possibility. Our schools, our future is because of that sales tax. We are excited to be able to implement that vision that the community had. The work that goes on inside the building is our teachers and our administrators. I can't thank them enough. They have persevered through some of the hardest years that you can ever face. Students were engaged on some level those 1.5 or 2 years, but many of them did not thrive during that time. And it's on their backs, that the teachers' backs, that they're getting that opportunity gap closed, and they're working so hard. And they are doing such a good job in a time when it's been very, very difficult for not only their own families, but in the classroom. I can't thank them enough. I wouldn't be up here today if it wasn't for the amazing staff that surrounds me each and every day. We use local labor for every single project. We use local architects and designers to help us design that work, and their partnership with us and their dream making also helped this come to life. Because I say, I have to wear a lot of hats during the day, but I'm not an engineer and I'm not an architect. I'm not a realtor. I'm an educator. I started off in the classroom. Learning curve for me, and the only way I can do a great job is to partner with others.
Thank you, Superintendent Gill, for the amazing presentation. It looks like a lot of exciting things are taking place in the district. I'm going to lead with probably the toughest question that you faced all year. What's your favorite part of City Tournament?
Hands down, it's our community coming together. People are like, "Oh, isn't that exhausting for 4 days?" I get to see just about every person I've ever worked with or know in our community or partner with. Everybody comes out for at least one of the nights. It's been pretty awesome to be able to see everybody come out and support the kids. Right behind that would be the cheering. I absolutely love the spirit that the kids bring for District 186 or their respective school, SHG and District 186 schools. This has been a tradition in our lives forever. Good basketball, good fun, but it's the cheering and the people that make it the best.
You spoke about the exciting construction. A lot of the phase one is either wrapping up or in the tail end of the work. Mm-hmm. Could you speak to the community partnerships that have really, really made this happen, whether it be on the front end, securing the tax, engineering construction firms, or any of just the community as a whole rallying around this process?
Right. I mean, and the cool thing about that is we've used so many of them. We did a full RFP process for all of our architects and engineers that are working on the design and the actual construction. O'Shea Builders is alongside us as construction manager on many of these partnerships. We have local and some that are kind of in the center of Illinois, but being able to use our local labor and their partnership and helping secure the sales tax was huge. The fact that we are using our local labor and that they're out on the jobs making things work, something that's been very exciting is before the pandemic, about 5 or 6 years ago, the local labor came to our office and said, we're really interested in starting something called the MC3 program, which is a construction trades program. We bought the textbooks right away, then the pandemic hit and things slowed a bit. I see Mr. Miller here, he's been integral at helping, but the Board of Education has been behind it every step of the way, making sure that we have these great career pathways for our students. The building trades program is something that we're housing at Lanphier High School right now, and we have 9 students strong in it this year. Next year, we have 30 signed up for it. We have 2 teachers, Mr. Handy and Mr. Craner, who have taken the training and taken the initiative. We want to develop a local pipeline for our trades. They're busy right now. If you drive downtown and you drive by the state capitol, or you drive around town and you see all the work that Springfield Clinic and Memorial Health Systems is doing, they're busy. We need to make sure that we're building a pipeline for more workers. And I know that there's already a couple success stories of students going straight into the trades, and we want to support them. Lincoln Land and CACC are our partners in this work as well.
You spoke about the importance of workforce pipeline programs. I know that there are more programs than just the construction trade programs.
Yes.
Can you highlight a couple of the other programs throughout the district?
Certainly. Well, we've always had a strong, longstanding relationship with the Springfield SIU School of Medicine and the pipeline for the P4 program for students that are interested in going into the medical field upon graduation. We also have a partnership with St. John's, and they have an NP3, which is nurse practitioner program for 3 years. They go, and hopefully we'll be able to move right into a nursing program. Sangamon CEO, business entrepreneurship. I just had an opportunity to speak to that class this week. 7:15 in the morning, they're up going to school, and then they miss their first hour and come to the schools after that. And it's not only all 4 high schools here in Springfield, but those across our Sangamon County as well. These are just some of the programs that are starting to grow because students see the benefit in them. We also have a great new program. It's a leadership strand this year. We're partnering with SMTD, Memorial Hospital, and also McGraw-Hill, which is the McGraw Family Industries, which is McDonald's here in town. The students are part of that on their Wednesday early dismissal. So at the end of their day, instead of going home like a lot of students do, they're going to a class. They're housed at Memorial in their new Innovation Center. It's a really cool course because they're not just talking about their career, but the leadership and the kind of softer skills that you need to go into an industry and think of yourself. You may take an entry-level job, but think of your next steps all the way. So we're excited about all of those, but have some great cool ones on the cusp with architecture and also agricultural programs.
You would say that the significance of community-focused learning is something that you've incorporated into the district. Can you speak more about the community relationships you've established to advance educational opportunities?
Some of it stemmed from when I was serving with the Chamber of Commerce and just their willingness to say, hey, how can we help? How can we help with getting some of these pipelines started and partnerships and connecting you with businesses? That's grown into a great relationship with the Springfield Sangamon Growth Alliance as well. And saying, you know, job fairs are great, or having exploratory days are great for students to get an idea of what they might want to do. But when our community can walk alongside us and give us embedded practices, field trips, on-site experiences, O'Shea and actually Westside Christian Church has given a lot of money to help us with the building trades program and just get off the ground, whether it be helping with tools, helping with work boots. Those are always things that we're looking to supplement and support our programming. Now with our Lanphier redesign, we're going to be able to have an actual hub in the school school that will be built for the building trades class. And those are the visions that we have for our future. But if the students don't have anywhere to go or a mentor or somebody to walk alongside them, then it's not as successful.
You are listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
Stay in touch with Community Voices and other news by subscribing to NPR Illinois Daily at nprillinois.org, a daily email newsletter that helps make sure you are in the know. Suggest a guest. Email communityvoices@nprillinois.org and we'll explore interviewing them. Community Voices is events you might have missed and conversations with neighbors, artists, and area business people. Get to know your neighbors with Community Voices.
Listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
Recently, the district has made great strides to ensure that our youth feel safe within the schools. Can you speak to some of those changes that you all have made in the past 2-3+ years?
It's one of the struggles that I have every morning is thinking, is everybody safe? Or have we done everything we can possibly do today to make sure our students feel safe and secure? A couple of the big things that we've done, first of all, there's secure entrances that are being built in all of our new construction and going back and retrofitted into all of our other schools across the city that aren't getting big construction pieces right now. To where there's a buzz in, then you're in an area and then there's another buzz into the office where you sign in, check in, and then yet another buzz in to get out into the schools. That's helpful. We've secured and worked with local partners to put in security cameras just about everywhere. So it always makes me laugh when kids try to do a little vandalism or we have a little problem. Like, you do know we have cameras everywhere. It's not the best idea to even outside, inside. Those all directly link to our 911 service. So our 911 service can have access to those cameras at any time to see any incident, fire, anything that might be happening and occurring. And that's a big upgrade to our system. A few years ago, the only camera we had in a school was just right at the front door. Now they're pretty much everywhere in all angles, outside and inside of the building, of course, where they're appropriate. That's been a big plus. This past 2 years, of course, we've been on a path of putting in metal detectors at all of our middle and high schools to make sure we have one more added layer of security each and every day. And those can be obviously used at our bigger events as well, football games and things where we draw a lot of people, basketball. With that being said, those are some of the biggest things that we've done infrastructure-wise. Safety is a feeling as well. It's a sense of belonging. It's making sure that you have that connectedness with caring adults in the building each and every day. It's about having activities after school where you can go, where it's safe to be with others and have fun and get the things you need, after school snack, tutoring support. So those are all the community partnerships that we have as well in place. All of those go around to an overarching feeling of safety.
The day-to-day operations of overseeing a district, overseeing various schools, ensuring that staff is responding to the needs of youth is one of your top priorities. Can you speak to overcoming the challenges of alternative programs? So some youth need different services. They may need different resources. The traditional setting of sitting in a school during 6 hours or 5 hours out of the day may not fit them due to challenges with behavior. Can you speak to some of the alternative programs that exist as it relates to community relationships, et cetera?
We have several alternative programs. One thing that I always want everyone to know is that when you see a student get to the place in their schooling where they have to go to a different setting, like suspension, perhaps expelled, we never expel them just to the street with nothing. We have community partners. NAACP has an alternative program that helps us greatly with that. We've got a great teacher. We've got a great program there and a lot of community support and a lot of volunteers that come around and help our students that are in need. We also have Douglas Prep that's been around for many, many years, and we have Springfield Learning Academy Academy, which is in SLA, is in Lawrence building, and they're in the basement. And then we also run alternative programming for those that are a little bit older and want to get back on track and come back and finish their schooling, whether it be online or through in-person classes there to receive their high school diploma eventually. Whichever way it happens, we want students to have that pathway forward. A couple partnerships. We're actually partnering with SLA with Simon Youth Foundation, which is Simon is the company that owns White Oaks Mall. We've been coming together and working with them and getting a lot of leadership opportunities. Some of our teachers were able to go to Washington, D.C. to a forum on what it looks like to run alternative schools and what's going on across the country in this type of setting. We're working to develop kind of a full service model with those schools so that they get everything they need in terms of wraparound services in our community. The outlet, once again, is connected to Douglas and is really helping us with the mentoring, not only during the school day, but having gateways for students to have really great opportunities in the summers and in the evenings and on the weekends as well. Our kids don't need support just between 8 and 3:30 during the school year. They need it throughout the year, and they need those strong family connections. Those are just a few. When we have partners like SMTD is providing jobs for those students. McDonald's is providing jobs for those students. Getting those kids connected with jobs in our community is another big thing, and that's the Simon Youth Foundation motto too, is they want students to have great schooling experiences and then come out and work in and around the mall structure.
As it relates to the needs of students, recently the district changed the graduation requirements, mm-hmm. went from requiring, and correct me if I'm wrong here, 26 credits and dropped it to 24. What mm-hmm. led to that change, and can you speak right. to how you see that better servicing the current the students?
We have a 7-period day at our high schools, and that gives you 28 opportunities in 4 years to get those credits. So 26 out of 24 gave students two opportunities for failure. Now, if you think about your own children, or if you think about somebody that you know, only having two opportunities to make up having a bad year or a bad semester is difficult. Although we have great summer programming in each of our high schools every summer for credit recovery, we know that credit recovery is not as good as learning it in the classroom, getting that direct instruction from the teacher in the classroom. And we wanted to make sure we had opportunities for students who may have had a bump along the road to feel like they had an opportunity for recovery. Another really important reason that we moved to this is our pipeline programs. If you need 26 credits, there are some school years where you have no room in your schedule to do anything that would lead you in a pathway or a pipeline. The way we've done the scheduling now is that there will be space in a student's schedule. So for instance, with the building construction program, we wanted to have the students take a freshman class, sophomore, junior, and senior. Each year, build on their skill sets when they're more ready to kind of take it all in. But they're also learning different modules of trades, and it takes time to be able to learn a module, go visit that trade, hear from some of those tradesmen in our community. It takes time. And if you're trying to cram that into 1 year, you're not going to get as good of experience as you are if you spread it out. The really cool thing that we're just getting ready to announce is a new JROTC program. We're working on the details. It was 5 years ago now, 2017, I went to Washington, D.C. with a contingency here through the Greater Chamber of Commerce. We advocated to having JROTC in our community. We don't have any program like that for students who are looking to go into the military as a career. This is an actual course that they take during the school year. We have secured that for next year for all three high schools. It's kind of a big deal because they don't give out very many, and we had bipartisan support with a signed letter from all of our congressmen and women that saying that this is something that we want the Springfield community to have, but you need to have space in your schedule. Also, I mentioned like Sangamon CEO and some of those other programs. You don't come until second hour. So first hour is that credit, and it can't be one of your mandated credits because that's an elective course. You just have to find space in your schedule to be creative. And to be creative, it means you have to look at things differently.
Could you speak to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Yes.
Since you've been superintendent, we've seen significant gains in minority principals being hired, mm-hmm. minority teachers, et cetera. Can you speak, because this is not only something that's challenging at the local level, but nationally, there are disparities. Our district is on the right right path. Can you speak to some of your initiatives, some of your strategic goals in accomplishing what you've been able to accomplish?
Our goal is to have our population of teachers and staff look like our student population. And that's a challenge because I mentioned the teacher shortage, digital reality everywhere, and then it affects every part of that discussion. I did name a chief equity officer, and he also oversees our school improvement efforts, looking at all of our data and making sure that we have the right data protocols in place alongside Dr. Moody, who's our assistant superintendent for teaching and learning. They are working together. We also just recently changed the way some of our recruiting structures, and we've got Arwa Humede working alongside Jamar Scott to help us in those endeavors so that we're getting out into our university structures. What we know is that just going to the job fairs get you a pile of resumes that they passed out to like 200 school districts that day. What we need is a connection early in their program where they're coming in and serving in our school district for their practicum hours, or coming and visiting our school district, coming and taking tours from around the school district just to see what we're all about and get engaged. We have great pipeline programs with not only Lincoln Land but UIS, but also we have a strong program with Millikan right now. We're working and talking to Illinois College because they have up and coming education program. I've been talking with Janet Gooch, Dr. Gooch out at UIS, about bolstering up and maybe even making one of our schools a partnership school. When they bring students in to say, hey, do I want to go here to get my teaching degree? She says, let me take you down to an elementary school that's going to be our partnership school where you're going to do your practicum work. We're just trying to think out of the box to really attract and bring students to our community. But it is a community endeavor because once they get here, we need to make sure we have all of the great things that they want in our community to stay. Great nightlife, great music, and great opportunities for eating out and dining scene is a good one. But keep doing all of those things within our community so that people want to stay here and they look at Springfield as a pretty cool place to live.
As a foundation board member for the district, could you speak to how the school district 186 foundation has played a role in assisting the district with various needs? Could you speak to that?
The Springfield Public Schools Foundation is something that we are the first foundation in the state of Illinois. Dr. Miedema kind of had that goal back in the day when I was in elementary school, I believe, and set that dream up. And it has been amazing resource to our schools. When you serve on the foundation board, you get to look through a lot of teacher grants. We try to make the foundation a place where teachers can come and ask for the things they need, whether they be extracurricular items for any of our sports teams, just those little extra things that they may need, whether it be a bigger project that a teacher has said, I really wanted to do this, but I need just a little bit of funds to get started or some items to get things kicked off the ground. We've really focused on STEM and technology, have a great relationship with Horace Mann as well. That's been very helpful and very, very philanthropic to the foundation. We have a new foundation grant in honor of Mike Zimmers, who passed away earlier this year while serving on the board. And he's got an endowment that he started before he passed away, but now it's even larger because of the generous donation of our community in his honor, to help fund teachers who want to go do creative professional development that might be outside of our general community area but need help with travel or help with stay or help with entrance fees. So that's a brand new one that's just getting kicked off the ground. When we have a foundation that supports our teachers and they can go and say, hey, I really need a new classroom library. Mine's looking a little tattered and worn after sending books home during the pandemic. Or a school that says we really need some additional technology needs, we have a group that will help us do that.
And I am a board member, so that was a shameless plug.
March 11th is the foundation
March
dinner.
March 11th, it is. Your current more of a mantra, our schools, our future. That's such an impactful statement. Our schools, our future. Could you speak to that? How do you envision the district in the future? Like, what are your goals and aspirations for the district long term?
The traditional high school that maybe all of us were raised in is something that our future doesn't need. It needs something more creative. It needs something where kids are able to incorporate technology as a piece of learning that they have. It's not something separate that you learn how to use the computer, but that the computer is how you learn. Our students need that purpose and that thinking of where they're going to be when they end. Everybody, when I went to high school, it's like, all right, you'll go to a four-year, a two-year, you'll go into the military. We need to make sure all of our students feel very confident that when they leave our high school that they have a path forward. Oftentimes, the some of the trades and some of the things that people may not have thought about before are very viable options because we've given them the tools and the path forward to know that they have that. We've worked with them on their leadership strategy so that they can join those organizations and be a leader right off the bat, that they have the confidence in themselves. Our social emotional learning is so important these days, making sure our students have that confidence and that sense of well-being and that sense of direction when they graduate from us. We have a new requirement and expectation that our students have that understanding of where they want to go when they leave us, and that means doing things differently. It's a struggle sometimes when you take small steps to try to do things different. It means that scheduling looks different. It's harder. It may be not traditional just between the hours of 8:30 and 3:30. I mentioned that a lot of these programs are happening very early in the morning. And that's because kids are willing to get up and do them to get the experiences. Looking at how we can change our outlook on what school looks like is very important. The one thing that I haven't mentioned is the importance of walking alongside the families. Our family and community engagement endeavor in our community is very well thought out and still growing every day. We have family and community engagement liaisons in each of our schools. We have people that help with attendance and families that are having struggles getting their kids to school each and every day or getting the things that they need. All of these roles have been new within the last few years. We have braided behavioral support specialists that help our students. We have a great partnership with Memorial and the Mosaic, which give us in-house clinicians to help with counseling right on site so it doesn't take the barrier of transportation away. All of these things really call our schools to be full service, whole student organization. It's a fun time to be in education because things did change drastically due to the pandemic.
That holistic approach to learning, right?
Exactly.
Bringing the family along, that's super important.
District homeless policy, how that plays out in individual schools or overall on the support for them?
That's another place where we have a great deal of support in our community. The Matthew Project has walked alongside us. Camp Compass has walked alongside to make sure that students don't have any gap in their learning opportunities throughout the summer months or vacations. 21st Century has done a great deal of work with us. We follow the McKinney-Vento Act, which is a federal law. We have attendance specialists and family and community engagement liaisons that help us with our families that may be facing homelessness, whether it be long-term or episodic. We have so many great partnerships with local agencies here in our community that serve those families alongside us. One of our biggest barriers is just learning about the homelessness. Sometimes it's very well kept within a family. When we start to see certain signs and ask those questions, we do so in a compassionate way as to not judge or support. But here's the thing about our homeless students. If they come to us on a given day and say, we're from another community, we start them in schooling that day. Get them the supplies that they need, get them anything that they might need to be successful, and get them started in school because that's one thing we know how to do as we also then walk along the families and support them with any of their needs.
What has been the impact of the pandemic on college applications, college admissions, post-high school experiences for your students?
We are seeing great outcomes of our students heading on to four-year institutions or local Lincolnland. It's just a great partner. You don't know this, but other two-year programs, junior college or community colleges, are not as opening to the school districts as Lincolnland is. We have a great relationship. Charlotte Warren and I have done a lot of really cool thinking on how to help train some of our up-and-coming teachers. We have a teacher pipeline at Lincolnland and at UIS that they can take courses while they're in high school. Now, they are taking those early in the morning or in the evening, getting those students ready for their post-secondary opportunities, so that helps with that transition most definitely. Universities are coming to us wanting to create partnerships and creating pipelines. College enrollment has changed a lot over the last 3 or 4 years. Some require ACT or SAT, some do not any longer. It's important for us to keep those pipeline programs open and that great relationship with our partners so that they have a success.
The descriptions that you had of the pipeline program sound a lot like the SHOP and FFA classes that were common when I was in high school. How do they compare with those sorts of programs? And what about classes in the arts, in the visual arts and music?
Yeah. We have a great display right now at the Springfield Art Association. Art is exceptional. It's our students that have special needs displaying their artwork down there, and they have it like a true showroom. It's beautiful. We have arts alive and well in all three of our high schools. We have things like drumline and performance music opportunities with band and choir, and it's just always a great, great show. We also have a great drama program, and one of the things that we're building at Lanphier High School is their first ever Forever Auditorium so that they can have their own work. Now, we always partnered with the Hoagland Center to have their shows, so we had a place to go, but just to have their own performing arts studio. So when you come to see Lanphier, when it's completely finished, they'll have a great hub for the arts and music, and Springfield Highs will be also really kind of new and shiny. They kind of have some in the basement and some upstairs and all over, and it will have like a fine arts center when it's done, so we're very excited about that. And the Southeast Auditorium, you saw just renovated in the video to add to their ability to really showcase their fine arts. When we talk about those old pipeline programs that you discussed, somebody once told me everything always comes back around. You just have to be in education long enough, and that is absolutely true, and I didn't want to believe it, but it is. What we're trying to do is just take that into to the next level and to do what it is for us today in our society. For instance, I was just talking to somebody the other day about needing to really support our students in learning new technology skills and programming and cybersecurity. All of those things are leading parts of our world that you can get a job in right out of school. We have a huge expectation on our shoulders to make sure we develop these pipelines over time. I participated in those programs. A lot of times they were exploratory, or you could take a shop class, but not as connected to the community and not as connected to college and career when you leave. So we want to make sure that those pipelines are strong, that we start to bring back that work. But we also utilize our partner in the CACC program, Capital Area Career Center. We take students out there that have the right credit structure so that they can go out there and spend a whole half day in a variety of programming. We have to utilize our partners in our community and make sure that we have a strong stance. The one thing that was detrimental to getting out to CACC was the fact that we had the 26 credit. Now taking it down to 24, if they're on track, they can go out to CACC. We always want to do everything that can get that child to come to school, no matter what it is. And we all know that sometimes it's not the heavy academics that get people up out of bed and excited every morning. It's the one class that they're going to have later in the day that they're really excited about. If they don't do all that other work, they're not going to get to that.
I work for AARP. You were talking about the students being creative with their credits. Have you ever thought about having maybe some of the students that are going out to CACC or that are excelling in technology, maybe work with a partnership with an older organization, and they could work with teaching older adults that are still trying to learn how to work that world of technology? Because I do okay. know that we would be real happy to help you with that.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to talk.
I'm a product of District 186, great. And now I own a commercial cleaning company.
Okay.
I've been part of this community my entire life. Being so, I have hundreds of family and friends who are administrators and faculty of District 186.
Yes.
Something that pops up often, especially now, is the need for help with cleaning and sanitizing the schools. Has there ever been any conversations about partnering with a local private company to potentially help complement your current custodial staff that's overworked and a lot of times understaffed to help keep your kids safe and healthy?
You know, any type of third-party contract, we do run some of them, you know, through the school district. We always, we have a strong Local 15 union, you know, presence in our schools, and we'd want to work alongside our union partners to make sure that all of those things were considered in bringing in personnel and third-party contracts. That's not unheard of, and we do supplement sometimes when we have flooding or anything else that might happen and have a little bit more of a need for outside services. We have done that as well.
Could you discuss the hard achievement data you're collecting to use for school improvement, particularly minority student achievement, and particularly at the high school?
We triangulate our data and making sure that we have sources from many different parts of a student's life, not just one test one time a year that the state provides to us. All of our students, of course, take the SAT their junior year, but that's not a real good piece of data to judge any day-to-day school improvement. We do give the NWEA MAP assessment three times a year to our students that give us an indicator of how they're progressing through grade level standards. Also, we look at things like attendance data and what type of courses they're taking, looking at their success rate in their academic courses and what we can do to help them improve in their knowledge of the grade level standards and the courses that they're taking through pre and post examinations, both formative and summative. Formative are those tests that you give, that the teachers give, that they get that rich information on how to look at how the students are doing on their content, what strategies they may need, and what they need to kind of do to help themselves get back on track or any support the teacher can provide. So when teachers look at data, we always try to have it already put into a dashboard for them so that they can just really drill down and look at individual students and individual needs so that we can put the right support pieces in place. We look at that for students that are taking any level of coursework throughout our district, but also those that are taking AP tests, for instance. We just had a great workshop this week, had all of our AP teachers and our department chairs at the high schools come together and look at how those students are achieving in those advanced placement classes, the strategies that they need to be successful on the AP exam, because if you get a 3, 4, or 5 on the AP exams, it equates to free college credits for you in just a few years. We also have a lot of dual credit programming where we look at how well our students are doing in college-based courses that are actually housed inside our high school, because we also know that can help families that need assistance. So data is something that we are continually doing. We have days set aside in our calendar where teachers can have time to look at data, and then our teachers have Wednesday early dismissals where they get together and look at grade level data structures. But it's about how we as a district put that data together and give it to them in a dashboard type methodology so that they can triangulate the data and look at things across different parts of a student's life.
I've been given the signal this is the last question.
Sure.
But Superintendent, my guess is you'd be willing to stay and chat a little while
I'm
longer.
I'm always willing, thank yes, you. No problem.
Good morning. First
good morning.
Of all, you're fantastic, and everything
thank
you. That you're doing at 186 has really been great, and I applaud you and kudos. My question, though, is about how many freshmen come into District 186 and how many seniors leave. So I think
right.
there's been quite a number. I don't know if the dropout rate has gotten better or worse since COVID, but could you please address that?
Yes, so we call that the graduation rate. So it's not just a percentage of how many people walk across the stage of the students that are enrolled that time, but how many people start their freshman year and finish their senior year within 4 years. And that's the graduation rate for the 4-year cohort. We also research and do 5-year cohort, 6-year cohort, and we're actually doing the 7th-year cohort after COVID, making sure that we get all those students back on track. So we celebrate when we have our students get through in 4 years. We don't stop celebrating when they get through in 5, if that's what they needed, or 6. And that's where programs like the alternative programs that we discussed really help us, especially our Springfield Learning Academy and our Lawrence Adult Education programs that we have. So with that being said, we also have a data piece called Freshmen on Track, and that's one of the things that we triangulate with our data. So that means if students have graduated with all of their at least 4 core classes passed after their freshman year, and they have a certain level of attendance, they have the best chance of graduating within those 4 years. So in places and pockets where we've seen some concern with our Freshmen on Track, we've actually put Freshmen on Track specialists at Lanphier High School this year, where we have somebody who's monitoring just those freshmen who did not have that Freshmen on Track status coming out of their freshman year, and she's working alongside them to get them back on track. So she had great outcomes. So 32 kids that she was tracking, and 12 of them are now back on track after one semester of their sophomore year by taking credit recovery courses, getting them coming to school on a regular basis, and getting them back on track. So we know that sometimes when things are tough, we can't ignore the data. We can't just discount students. We have to give them the supports that they need to be successful. And that's a true definition of equity. It's giving every student what they need at the time that they need it so that they can be successful.
Thank you, Superintendent Gill. We thoroughly appreciate this update. Thank you again.
Thank you.
That concludes today's Community Voices, an event you may have missed. The Citizens Club of Springfield thanks to John Kelker, Beverly Bunch, and the Citizens Club of Springfield for producing the event, and the City of Springfield for providing the audio. Community Voices is events you might have missed and conversations with neighbors, artists, and area business people. Suggest a guest. Email communityvoices@nprillinois.org and we'll explore interviewing them. Stay in touch with Community Voices and other news by subscribing to NPR Illinois Daily at nprillinois.org, a daily email newsletter that helps make sure you are in the know. Get to know your neighbors with Community Voices. Production assistance is provided by the Community Voices team, B. Bonner, Vanessa Ferguson, Tim Bowl, and Logan Bricker. Community Voices is a production of NPR Illinois. Community Voices airs weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m. on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. Community Voices is a production of NPR Illinois.
You are listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.